Chapter 4. Colder Still.
Gabriel!
The cry rose over the howling winds, the tromp of heavy boots at our backs. I looked down to the city streets below, Lachlan staring up at me as he pointed behind.
I see them, I roared. Can you cover the Divok?
Lachlan glanced to the dune, then nodded, his face bloodied and grim.
You're back! My blade! Angus, I shouted. Take your wolves west over the Port Tun gates. Meet Lockie at the dune. Brandon,
I turned to Phoebe's cousin. Take your slayers east. Bryn, you and yours come with us. Silver sisters cover the saints. Moon's maidens at our backs. I ducked for cover as a boulder the size of a small house demolished the walls alongside me. I saw Nikita tearing another chunk of battlement free in his hands.
All of you go! Go!
We charged toward our foes, half of us toward the untamed ahead, the rest turning to deal with the iron hearts behind. Phoebe and I leapt clear of the crumbling battlements. Baptiste landed beside us, flinching as the high walk cracked overhead. Stone dust and blood plastered to his skin. His arm was broken, a sling around his neck, a mallet of purest silver steel borrowed from Forge Master Argyle, clutched in his off hand.
Gib, I have to go after Aaron. Damn it, Baptiste, I snarled. The only way to free him is to kill the Blackheart. And I love you, mon ami, but you've not got that feat in you.
We winced again, more stones smashing overhead, iron hearts closing in behind.
I can't just leave him. Would you abandon your bride among those monsters?
And I shook my head then, chest aching. I knew my old friend spoke truth, that I'd never leave my beloved behind, no matter the cost. I also knew that barring a miracle, Baptiste went now to his death. But God help me, I'd not the heart to stop him.
The storybooks are full of fools who died for love, Jean-Francois murmured.
That they are, the Silver Saint nodded, rubbing his stubble. And though it might mark me a fool also, I'm glad for that fact, historian. If you fight for nothing, that's exactly what you'll give to defend it. But if you fight for something worthwhile, I mean, something that truly matters, there's no length you won't go to. Brotherhood, famille, loyalty, love. All worth trying for, all worth dying for. In the end, that's what makes us different from you, vampire. And that which makes us different makes us mighty.
Gabriel smiled. And so I clasped my brother's hand and spoke the words Aaron and I had said to each other at the Battle of the Twins, staring into the eyes of death side by side.
No fear, only fury.
Baptiste kissed my bloody cheek and turned to join the Silver Saints, streaming now toward the dune. The Highlanders were rushing out to meet the Ironhearts, carving through the wretched vanguard. Bryn was a bloody powerhouse, fighting tooth and claw, painted to her elbows and surrounded by a sea of her howling kin. I saw a bear as big as a wagon plough through a half dozen wretched, tearing them asunder with claws and teeth. A shower of arrows sliced through the storm, cutting into the Vos thrall swords behind, wheel-lock fire crackling in the air. Parts of the city were ablaze, the dead fleeing the flames, smoke biting the air black. Through the haze, I could see Highbloods among the Vos troops, leading the thrall swords on, but my eyes were only on those two shadows, light and dark, lurking at their backs. Those dread generals, old when Empire was young, hands entwined and drenched with the blood of ma famille. I heard a whisper of cloth, soft boots hitting snow, the scent of fresh blood on the air. Turning, I saw Selene beside me, bloody rags over her face, dead eyes on the terrors.
You should go help Dior, I told her.
Steal inside the dune in the chaos and... Dior is safe for now. Kiara has her.
Kiara? In what fucking nightmare is that safe?
Mothers and sons, fathers and daughters, sisters and brothers. She shook her head. Quite a web we weave, we who call ourselves Fami. But the wolf mother has Dior safe under her wing, and you will need our help to defeat my aunt's brother.
I didn't think you cared, sister. She looked at me then, dead eyes rimmed with red, quiet in that storm.
I never stopped caring, Gabriel. That is why it hurt so badly when I thought you did.
She raised her blade and flail, glowering at the terrors.
Now, let us go have blood for my niece.
The last silver saint leaned forward, empty goblet hanging limp in his fingers. His sister remained mute, watching across those dark waters, still as stone. Gabriel stared at her, breath hissing soft through his fangs, coming a little quicker now. Jean-Francois stopped writing, glancing toward Capitaine Delphine as the mood in the cell shifted a shade darker. Thrall swords tensed in the shadows, ready to move should the Silver Saint entertain the fury that burned bright and sudden in his eyes. But Gabriel only closed his fist, knuckles white, his golden goblet crumpling in his hand as he murmured,
"Do you know what a Dianic victory is, Coldblood?"
The historian looked again to Delphine, motioned for the man to stand down.
"Oui," Jean-Francois nodded, "named for King Diane of Talost, who fought Maximil the Martyr at the siege of Charinfel in the year 8 BE. He battled the Augustans to a standstill, but lost over 90% of his forces in the process. The phrase describes a triumph so costly it is akin to defeat."
Gabriel stared at Selene a heartbeat longer, the air heavy as lead. Dropping his crushed goblet, he picked up the bottle of wine, drinking straight from the neck.
"We ran along the broken west wall," he said, slurring soft, "back toward the rear of the Voss line. Bryn and her fellows were slicing into the Ironheart's vanguard, but the going was slow and bloody, and I meant to cut around their flank, strike at the terrors from behind. I snatched up a dead soldier's cloak to cover my aegis as we ran, only three of us, Phoebe, Selene, and I, darting over the rubble and across the ruined high walk. The smoke and snow were so thick, we were but shadows, the storm and battle so loud, we were but whispers, the stench of blood so heavy, they'd never smell us coming. And so we ran on, swift and sure over the rubble, the thundering storm, eyes locked on the pair of them. They stood on the crumbling arch atop the outer gatehouse, watching the battle unfold with dead black eyes. Patient, ancient, content to spend every drop of their troops' blood so long as they stole their prize in the end. Our warriors were torn and battle-worn. The Voss troops were fresh. The Divok Wretched had attacked our forces mindlessly, but under the will of the Ironhearts, the Voss Foulbloods were fainting and manoeuvring, pressing Bryn and our dancers where they were weakest, melting back to regroup. I saw that towering Urfwill go down under a mountain of Foulbloods, Moon's maidens brought low by volleys of wheel-lock fire. Left to their own devices, Fabienne's brood would win this day. But strike off the shepherd's head, and the sheep will scatter, vampire. And between we three lions, I fancied we could take off a bonce or two. They felt us coming, eventually. Even with my aegis concealed, there's little chance of stealing up on monsters that can feel minds. But still, we'd got close enough in the chaos, and as Alba and Hélène turned toward us, I saw them quaver. A ripple passed down their line of foul bloods below. Wheel-lock blasts rang out, thralls firing at us from the ruined streets, shots striking stone around us. But on we ran, Phoebe's claws glinting, Selene's blade dripping, Astrinka humming in my head to light a fire in my chest. That nursery rhyme I'd sing to patients back when she was a little girl, woken by terrors in the night.
"Sleep now, my lovely, sleep now, my dear. Dark dreams will fade now your papa is near. Fear not the monsters, fear not the night. Papa is here now and all shall be right. Close your eyes, darling, and know this be true. Morning will come, and your papa loves you.
Black eyes fell upon us, black wills following, battering upon my brow with the weight of bloody centuries. Minds so old and cold, they were simply unknowable. How many years they're counting, how many murders they're tally. But still, I felt a tremor as they looked to Selene, that blade of blood rippling in her hand, the fangs gleaming in her skull as she tore the rags away to reveal the ruin Law had made of her face. I could hear it in their whisper. Their hate. Their fear. Esani. Gabrielle fell silent as Selene snaked to her feet. The last Laethe seemed caught in the battle's spell now, just as the historian was, his quill moving swift across the page. We could see it also, taste it on the very air. Alba and Elaine were daughters of Fabienne, sisters to the beast who slew me, and to see even a sliver of disquiet in those terrors brought a smile to our ragged lip. But as we fell to, there atop the gatehouse, Gabrielle and his flesh witch hewing at Alba, ourself at Elaine, all smugness ran to dust. As Elaine drew a blade from her riding crop and stepped aside our blow, we glanced back toward that mote of us within Dunmer again, a whisper slipping my lips. Kiara. The wolf mother had reached the Hall of Crowns, the shadow of the nine-sword statue, the princess and the grail limping behind her. But she froze still now, eyes widening as a cold voice spoke her name. Smoke hung on the wind with the hymn of silver horns and highland pipes, the chant of doom come calling. Dior cursed, Rain's jaw clenched. And turning, they saw three figures behind, eyes locked on the traitorous wolf mother. The first was Cain, the headsman's terrible greatsword at rest on his shoulder. The second was Prince, snarling and scarred. And third, swathed in a beautiful gown of black and crimson, a crown of antlers upon her brow and a cuirass of steel at her breast. Lily, Dior hissed. How now, sweet niece? The Heartless smiled, petting her growling wolf atop his head. Wherefore dost thou travel with arms so laden? My dread lady, Kiara bowed, nodding toward the sound and fury outside. Saints of silver are come to the gates in aid of the lion. The battle goes ill. Laird Nikita demanded the girl be brought to the walls. She glowered at Cain. Where ye should also be, cousin. The girl. Lily's eyes flickered now to Rain. Yet two such I count afore me. The Countessa tilted her head quizzical. Or be it three. My lady, I think me deaf as well as blind. The Heartless glanced toward Kiara's bloody hand, her father's brand flayed off her skin. Think me fool, little niece. The wolf mother gritted her teeth, putting herself between Lily and the grail. Dior was still looking limp and dazed, Rain supporting her weight. But as the pair began slipping back toward a servant's door, Prince snarled, his eye flashing. Cain hefted his blade, glowering at his older cousin, but Kiara stared only at the Heartless, her mighty warmall clenched in her fist. The Ancien had never offered anything but cruelty to her niece, nor bestowed anything but scorn. We know not if Kiara thought herself Lily's better in battle. If she fancied the Contessa soft beneath that steel breastplate, a creature of whispers and silken sheets. Perhaps she was simply tired, furious, betrayed, bleeding. We know not the wolf mother's heart, historian. We know only what she said. I think ye a sadist, Kiara spat, a viper and an oathbreaker. I think ye sister to a bastard, she glanced to Cain, and a mother to cravens, and an architect of ruin who sat upon a throne bought with blood ye were content to drink, but ne'er to risk. The wolf mother spat red upon the broken stone. I think ye're a coward, Lily. And with that, Kiara drew back her arm and hurled her warmall across the hall,
She was only Medea, true, but she was dosed with Dusk Dancer blood, and a warrior of the untamed, hardened by decades of battle. Kiara's maul cut the air hard enough to shake the windows, and though Lily tried to move, the Divok are famed for their strength, not speed. The Heartless was struck, sailing backward in a gout of blood, colliding with the nine-sword statue so hard it shattered into pieces. Granite cut the air like knives, Neve's legendary blades singing as it crashed onto the flagstones. Lily flew onward, smashing into the wall beyond, the gables overhead creaking ominously as she collapsed to the stone. Cain roared at his brood mother's fall, lunging at Kiara with his greatsword. The wolf mother wore two blows, the first taking her left arm off at the elbow, the second sinking deep into her chest. But spitting blood, cursing, Kiara smashed Cain aside with a vicious backhand. The armored suits about the hall trembled as the headsman struck the far wall, tumbling to the floor with a bubbling groan. And roaring in pain, Cain found himself pinned to the stone, his own greatsword torn from Kiara's breast and flung clear across the room, piercing his ribs and nailing him hilt deep to the stone behind. Right hand curled in a bloody fist, the wolf mother stalked toward her fallen aunt, murder in her eyes. Outside, things were running to shite now, Gabriel said. Bryn and her kin were tearing the Voss apart, but being cut deeper in kind. Every death of theirs was bought with one of ours, Highlanders and Foulbloods and Thrallswords ripping each other to ribbons. Lucky and his Silver Saints had reached the Dun, but there the battle had run every shade of bloody. Silver ink burned in the dim dawn light, screams of the undying tearing the air. The Saints hit the broken walls, leaping and climbing upward toward their foes on the battlements. But rather than stones raining down from above, Lachlan and his Saints found another horror pouring onto their heads. It was Nikita's design. My gut still churns at the thought, even as my mind marvels at the genius. For in the time it took us to muster, those prisoners had been fetched from their cages just as their laird had ordered. The parishioners of Avalyn, the mothers, the children, all twisted open like ripe fruit and poured into the troughs along the battlements, then dumped in great steaming gouts over the Silver Saints leaping up from below. Blood, Jean-Francois realized, mixed with ash, snow, sticking to their skin. It dulled the light of their aegis, Gabriel nodded. Enough for the Divok to fight back at least. And as the Silver Saints reached the battlements, Aaron fell among them, fey and fell in that strangled silver light, Nikita beside him, dancing the tempest with his dark lover, a dreadful duet tearing bloody furrows through the Saints. Between them, they sent half a dozen brothers to their graves, young Robin beheaded with a single stroke, Thomas and Maxim, even old Argyle falling beneath their blades. From among the dancers charging along the sea wall, Baptiste watched in horror, stricken to the heart at the sight of his beloved, laughing with Nikita as he slew those faithful sons of Saint Michon. At the gates, we clashed with the terrors, the five of us a blur through the driving snow. Phoebe and I waltzed with Alba, but though we were two and our foe one, the terror's skin was steel, and her mind pressed us constantly, whispering, half-heard echoes in the back of my head, shadows ever moving at the corners of my eyes. Papa? It was Patience's voice I heard, frightened and small. She was close. I could feel her, reaching out to me as she'd done when she was little, waking alone and afraid in the night. Papa? I heard Astrid's voice too, ringing in the dark halls of my heart. I saw her upon the battlements before us now, looking from Phoebe to me, heartbreak in her tear-stung gaze. You promised. How could you?
Listen not, Gabriel, Ash said. Flowers fallen, pictures faded, she is gone.
Papa, you promised.
They are gone.
You failed them, lion. Alba smiled,
head whipping aside as my blade crashed across her cheek, leaving naught but a scratch in her marble skin. Stepping aside Phoebe's strike, the vampire lashed out with the sword hidden in her riding crop, midnight eyes fixed on me.
"You failed them both.
Shut up."
"Dinna listen, love," Phoebe hissed.
"They're naught but lawyers." "Papa, where are you?"
"Shut up." Gabriel halted in his tail, taking another long swig from the bottle. Dragging one hand down his face, he heaved a sigh that seemed to come from his boots. The last Laethe stood at the river's edge, black eyes upon her brother, patient as spiders. But when it became obvious he would not speak, the Laethe continued instead.
"The Princess Amergen had turned to flee as the battle in the Hall of Crowns was joined. Rain had no thought for the wolf mother's safety, only the girl in her arms, dragging the still dazed Dior around the grand staircase. But Prince flew out of the dark like an arrow then, the princess and Grail both tumbling to the stone with a cry. Rain screamed as the white wolf's fangs sank into her shoulder, blood spraying, bone cracking, the great beast possessed of a devil's strength. With a roar of fury, Dior lunged up from the flagstones, aiming a savage kick at the wolf's skull and striking true, her dainty pointed heel crashing right into Prince's open maw.
"Good for something at least," she gasped.
Lily lay silent and still, as Kiara reached out with her one good hand. But with a roar, the headsman struck at the wolf mother's back. His skull was broken, his chest ruptured, but still he flew like a spear, crashing into her spine and bringing them both down to the ground. Kiara seethed, snarling and spitting blood, massive hand closing around Kane's throat. The headsman's thumb sank into her eye, bursting it like a grape, crunching through the socket behind. The pair struggled, cousin against cousin, the only blood between them thickened with hate. But Kiara was ever the elder, the stronger, and pressing down with all her might, she dug her fingers into Cain's neck.
"I told ye to mind that tongue of yours, cousin."
With a snarl, the wolf mother tore out a fistful of the headman's throat, jaw and teeth and lolling tongue all coming with it. And with one final gasp, Kiara smashed her bloody fist back into Cain's skull, smearing it over the shattered flagstones behind. Prince hadn't taken kindly to the kick to his face, the wolf now turning on Dior. Beyond getting the beast away from Rain, the Grail had no kind of plan, scrabbling back toward the statue's rubble. The wolf lunged, sinking his fangs into her chin and shaking the Grail, screaming over the beast's hollow growls. And behind him, Rain Amergen lifted the sword she'd snatched up from the rubble, the sword of the mother who had never truly been a mother at all, who had never expected a moment of greatness from her. And with a fierce cry, she plunged the blade hilt deep into Prince's back. The wolf wailed, bubbling and whimpering, sinking at last down to the stone. With a gasp, Rain dragged the blade of the nine swords free, grabbed Dior and hauled her upright, the girls bleeding and staggering away across the Hall of Crowns. Hands dripping with her cousin's leavings, Kiara limped toward her aunt. Lily still lay on the shattered timbers, breastplate crushed by the wolf mother's maul, her ancient eyes yet closed. Kiara loomed above her fallen elder, shrouded in lightning's pulse and a shower of dust, lifting her bloody hammer in hand. And if this were a tale of redemption, of heroes, the wolf mother might have slain the heartless then and there. But as her niece raised her weapon high, a single drop of blood fell, spattering on Lily's ruby lips. And the Contessa opened her eyes.
Stop.
Seething, powerless before that whip, Kiara stopped.
Kneel.
Helpless as a babe, Kiara sank to her knees as Lily rose up from the wreckage.
Die.
and with the strength of 7 centuries at her bloody fingertips, the Heartless tore the Wolf Mother's head from her shoulders in a spray of bone and blood. And Chiara Divok died.
Silence fell in that dark cell below Souladère, Jean-Francois pursing his lips.
A shame. In the end, I rather liked her.
She was a fucking fiend. Gabriel fixed bleary eyes on the Marquis, his voice thick with wine. Butcher of thousands, slayer of innocent women and children, a bloodthirsty murderess with nothing close to a conscience.
As I say, Jean-Francois shrugged, I rather liked her.
The silence was broken by a scribbling quill, the historian resuming his chronicle. The last silver saint shook his head, quaffing from his bottle. Outside the dune, he continued, the saints were still clashing on the walls with the Divok. The toll the untamed had taken was terrible, but the dancers had arrived now. Angus and Brandan sweeping along the sea walls and crashing against the high blood flanks. Baptiste ran with the wolves, broken arm and all. The bloody madman had doused his warhammer in pitch and set it alight with some saint's flintbox, swinging it like a burning silver steel club. The battle was spilling off the walls now, down into the Dunes Bailey, over into the streets of Olton, Divok flinging themselves about in their tempest, all order collapsing into the sweet arms of chaos. Nikita and Aaron had cut a bloody swathe along the battlements, but the saints had rallied now, Lachlan fighting at their fore. He was the pale-blooded son of mighty Tolyev, my old prentice, and he'd been raised among the untamed before he was trained by me to kill them. Leaving one high blood legless, another in ashes on the stone at his feet, he lunged now at Aaron, meeting the lordling blade to blade.
They always told me you're a bastard, Dacoste, he spat. And do you know what they told me about you, boy?
Aaron hissed in reply, smashing Lachlan back across the stone.
Absolutely nothing.
Sparks flew as Lachlan's silver steel bit into Aaron's greatsword, fledgling and silver saint now clashing blade to blade. They were near equal in strength, perhaps in fury, both with all to lose. But in the end, Aaron had been only an initiate when he was cast from the order, and Lachlan was a saint with 17 years of war under his belt. With his foe still off kilter in the dim light of his bloody aegis, Lachlan's sword found a way past Aaron's guard. Slicing the fledgling's shoulder bone deep, Lachlan followed through, and with a twist, my old prentice disarmed my brother clean. Aaron's greatsword glittered as it sailed off the battlements, singing as it struck the stones of the bailey below. And fangs bared, Lachlan raised his silver steel for the death blow.
I'll tell Gabe, you died well.
With a desperate cry, Baptiste threw himself through the melee, striking Aaron square in the chest. Tangled together, Black Thumb and Fledgling tumbled off the battlements, crashing into the bloody snow 50 feet below. Lachlan made to pursue the pair, but as Brother Xavier was cut to red mist but a few feet to his left, my old prentice found himself in far deeper water. It landed now on those shattered battlements before him with a crash, drenched head to foot in gore, eyes gleaming like voids.
Good morrow, little brother, Nikita smiled.
Back at the gates, Selene said, we still warred with the terrors. Below us in Newton, thrall swords and foul bloods clashed with slayer and dancer, but atop the gatehouse we fought alone. The flesh witch had bloodied Alba, the iron of her throat torn by the dusk dancer's talons. Gabriel pressed her back, bleeding from a slice across his cheek, another down his chest, burning red with the light of his aegis. And though it scorched the eyes of our foes, that cursed light blinded me too, making our own opponent ever more dangerous. Alain's skin was dark grey marble, and though it shredded her finery, our blade left no wounds, only welts and tiny cracks on the flesh of her arm, her chest, her throat. She was in our head, I could feel her,
preying on my fears, riddling me with doubt. Our sword arm was shaking, legs a-tremble, mind echoing with unbid memory. Their sister, my dread mother, tearing my throat and face asunder. The red hell of dying in Law's embrace, awful pain and pleasure entwined,
redoubled and reverberating in our skull.
"We know thee, traitor," the twins smiled. "Acolyte of a line bereft of sight, consigned to history's dust. We watched the best of thee burn already, their ashes strung black and thick o'er Charlebourg's ruins.
We were there the night the belief of the faithless faltered.
Think ye, child, thou can stand against us?"
Silvered blades flashed, blood and snow and ash, dark eyes falling on Phoebe.
"Stay out of my head," the flesh witch roared.
"Poor kitten,"
they whispered.
"To their deaths thou hast led thy kinfolk. No queen reborn, no bringer of storms. Shadow of a glory long faded, broken failure,
drunkard's whore, widowed mother of a stillborn babe. How deep ye failed thy poor dead husband. How shamed of thee would thy Connor be."
"Shut your fucking mouth," Gabriel snarled, reaching for the terror's throat.
"Silvered wretch, cleaving to false hope as the beggar to his bottle. Think ye, if ye save her, thou shalt forget the music of their screams? Think ye the Orlechans could ever feel the hole in the heart we watched our father break?"
Gabriel roared, sending Alba skidding across the stone with a blow from Ashtrinka. His fury became awful then, terrifying, and we saw that rather than bruise his spirit, the terrors had instead left the growing madness in him utterly unmoored. He crashed into Alba, heedless of her blade, the Ancien stabbing his chest and throat as he brought her down onto the stone. Gabriel landed atop her, wounds gushing blood, his eyes wild, fangs bared as he pressed hands to her pale neck, the gift of his dark father finally unleashed. And as an awful scream tore the ashen air, Alba's blood began boiling in her veins. Elaine turned at her sister's cry, fear welling in those black eyes, and in that moment we took our chance. The shell of me splashing red onto the stone at the terror's feet, the rest of me rising up behind her, grabbing a fistful of her hair and wrenching back her head, forcing my fangs through the skin of her neck, knives puncturing that welted, cracking stone. Alin's scream became a strangled cry, then a heartsick, trembling moan as our kiss took hold, as we drank, I drank. The leaden weight of her blood, the awful strength of her years, the ever darkness in her soul crashing over our dust-dry tongue. It had been too long since I supped of someone that deep. All of us aflame, wrapping strong arms around the iron heart as she tried to struggle, just as I had when her sister murdered me. Alba was yet flailing in Gabriel's grip, his thumbs now sinking into her melting eyes. She clawed his throat, spine arching, smoke seeping from the widening cracks in her skin. Phoebe looked on in horror at the pair of us. I, wrapping Elaine in my deadly embrace, Gabriel burying his fingers in the ash of Alba's skin. We could feel Elaine's terror, hear Alba's awful scream rising frantic on the wind as death reached out his cold hand.
Gabriel.
The voice was soft. Not in our head, but still cutting through the storm, the scream of battle like a blade of broken glass. And looking up, my mouth full of glorious leaden bliss, we saw him on the snow-clad battlements, pale eyes locked on my brother.
Gabriel,
he repeated. The foul-blood boy who had spoken in the Black Heart's court, traceries of rot at its mouth and fingertips, a streak of fresh blood smeared across its eyes and brow. It stood and stared as my brother glanced up, and though winter was in its fullness, the air about us grew colder still as that dead thing smiled, and Gabriel's lips peeled back in fury, eyes darkening as he recognized the monster that rode inside that rotten shell.
"Fabienne,"